Okay, we're Perek Lamed Beis this morning with the Tiferes Yisrael. Moving along on the subject of Matan Torah. And the Gemara that he's going to be discussing today is a very famous Gemara about Matan Torah. Vayisyatzu betachtis sahar, and they stood at the bottom of the mountain. Omar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chosa Melamed Shekofa Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem Asahar Kegigis. This teaches you that Hashem held the mountain over them like a barrel. The Omar Lem, and he said to them, "Imatemakablam Torah Mutav. If you accept the Torah, great. Vimlav, and if not, Shom Tehekfuraschem. There will be your burial place. I'll bury you right here under the mountain." Omar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Mikan Meidor Rabel Yeraisa. Rav Avacha Bar Yaakov said, "From here we have a great disclaimer regarding the acceptance of the Torah. Why? Because we could say we were forced." Amar Rava, Rava said, "Afal Pikein, nevertheless, Hodr Kiblu Abimea Chashverish, Dechsiv Kimu Vekiblu Ayehudim." The Jewish people re-accepted it in the days of Achashverosh, as it says, Kimu Vekiblu, they upheld and they accepted it, the Jews. Kimu Mashe Kiblu Kfar, they upheld what they had previously accepted. That's the Gemara. So Hashem forced them into it by holding the mountain, so to speak, over their head. That's the Gemara. Now, the Taisvis asks a kasha, $64,000 question. Didn't the Jewish people already say Nasa v'nishma? Nasa v'nishma sounds more than voluntary, eager, right? Like we've been learning, like we learned about before with Nasa v'nishma. The way you make it sound here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over their head, forced it. And Vayisyatzu Betachtis Sahar, by the way, is said at a later stage of the game, after the Jewish people already said, yeah, we're going to go for it. So what's going on? Says Taisvis, Shema Yuchayzim Kshiyiru Hayesh Hagdaila Shiyatasan Ishmasan. Maybe the Jewish people would change their mind. When the great fire of Har Sinai, the fire which we learned about, but their soul leaving them, the overwhelming nature of the Kabbalah HaTorah, it's one thing to say yes in advance, but when they were actually experiencing it, so it could have been so overwhelming, they would have said, well, we changed our mind. So to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in with the Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis. V'ada Amar V'ber Kama De Maseches Havei Rezora Klum Kofis Aleinu Har Kegigis Dimashma Dim Hoya Kof Aleihem Lehoya Lehen Shuva. So he says the nations of the world, when Hashem will sort of leave them out to a great degree at the end of days, they'll have a complaint. They'll say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't you hold a mountain over us? Now, says Taisvis over here, we're saying the fact that Hashem held the mountain over us is a reason for us to get out of it. Over there, they're complaining, you didn't hold a mountain over us to get into it. Says Taisvis, I know Mashal Kibua, but Mashal Kimua Ichot Shuva. They say, look, we would have accepted it because of Kviyas Har Kegigis. You're claiming we didn't accept it, that we didn't fulfill it. There's the excuse of Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis. So it cuts both ways. That's the Taisvis. Maral is not satisfied with the answer of Taisvis. He's very focused on the question of Taisvis, which is the relationship between Nasev and Nishma and Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis. The Nasa V'nishma, the voluntary acceptance of the Torah that the Jewish people had done originally, and Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis, which implies that it had to be forced. What's the nature of this Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis? He says, look, how could it be that Yisrael Yachzru Mikabolas HaTorah Asher Lo Yosuf Zechus Zeh Mizaram Vezera Zaram Ad Eilam? The ultimate merit for the Jewish people is the fact that we accepted the Torah. And we're saying, yeah, but it's so frail that if there wouldn't have been the mountain held over our head, we would have backed out of the whole thing. It doesn't jive. It doesn't go together well. And mas chusuz, shema im lekof aleihem ahar hayu chayzrim. What kind of a merit is this if without the mountain held over our head, we would have changed our minds? It undermines the strength of our undertaking, of our commitment. Right? And furthermore, asked the Maral, Yichva Aleihem Har, Kshayu Chayzim V'Layata. Let Hashem wait and see. You know, if they're going to actually start backing out, then it'll hold the mountain over our heads. But the way it makes it sound in the Gemara is that before the Jewish people even reacted, Hashem held the mountain over their head. V'hoid, and furthermore, im hoya lehek fizar actually you chayser im hadar minu avedizar klum kafitz alhar aleinu leimaluhu klum amartim nasav nishma kaidim fiyasahar. Furthermore, says Taisvus, if holding the mountain over their head was only that they shouldn't back down from what they had already accepted, so what's the question that the goyim have? The goyim say, Rabbi Nishma, you didn't hold the mountain over our heads. So Hashem would say very simply, that's right, I didn't. The Jewish people who accepted the Torah, I held the mountain over their head so that they should remain committed. You never accepted it to begin with. I didn't originally go and hold the mountain over anybody's head. I only did it for those who already had accepted it to begin with. These are the kashas of the Maral. And it's indeed a difficulty. It's a difficulty. There's a famous Medrash Tanchuma, in Parshas Noach, that says that the resolve this question of Kabbalas HaTorah B'Rotzon, of Nasev Nishma, the willing acceptance, and the forced acceptance of Kavalei Markagigas, by saying, well, there's Torah Shebichsav and there's Torah Shebalpeh. On the written Torah, we were voluntarily accepting it. The Torah Shebalpeh is such a unending and overwhelming responsibility that there we needed the Kafaliyam Harkigigas. That's what the Medrash says over there. Every aspect of this deserves discussion, explanation. The Maral is focused on the Gemara the way we have it, and Taisus is Kasha, and the Maral gives his own answer to this question, his own understanding of this question. And in a certain sense, the terms that he's going to use in answering this question are terms which are familiar to us from what the Maral has discussed before in our earlier prakim, where he spoke about the role of Torah within the world. And he divides his answer into stages, where he says like different aspects, like three things, three aspects, like the Maral very often does, but they all are aspects of one fundamental approach. And the fundamental approach of the Maral is that Torah is not an option. Torah is not power windows. Kof aleihem harkigigis. I'm trying to say it as succinctly as possible. Okay, and then we're going to go back and look at it more closely. Kof aleihem harkigigis says, kihem chayenu v'oirach yomenu. Kof aleihem harkigigis says, you can't do without the Torah. You can't do without the Torah. It's not like, okay, you know, guys, what do you say? You know, remember I carried you on the wings of eagles, you want to have the Torah? Yeah, nice, let's have the Torah. You know, that implies sort of like Torah as some kind of a thing. It's a nice thing to have. The Torah is nice, you know, have the word of Hashem. It's a nice thing. Kof aleihem harkigigis says, Torah is life itself. Torah is vital, crucial, critical. With it, you exist. Without it, curtains. That's what Kof aleihem harkigigis expresses. And a Kabbalas HaTorah without saying that, without that being seen, understates the essential nature of the Torah itself. That's the fundamental notion which the Maral teaches. You know, if we'll take a step back for a moment from how the Maral actually presents it, the way I like to ask this question is the following. The Jewish people come to Har Sinai. Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu, says, Moshe, look, you know, go tell the Jewish people, you've seen what I've done to Mitzrayim, I carried you on the wings of eagles, I brought you to me now, do you want to listen to my voice and be for me my treasure, my choice, my people, my chosen people from amongst all the nations? That's the question, right? So Moshe brought the words of Hashem to the people, the people said, we'll go for it, right? Whatever Hashem says, we'll do. I have scenario B. Jewish people say, nah. Hashem, Yitzias Mitzrayim, was terrific. Thank you very much. We really liked it. It was great. You know, we were slaves before, now we're free. Well, thanks, but no thanks on the Kabbalas HaTorah thing. What do you think? What happens next?
End of the world.
End of the world. The next passage in the Gemara, right, if you say the end of the world, right, in this passage of the Gemara would be the end of us. In the next passage of the Gemara, Amar Avacha, Amar Chizkiyo Maidichsi Mishamayim Mishmata Din Eretz Yorav Ishakata, from the heavens you made the din come forth, be heard, the earth feared and was silent, was calm. Im yara lama shakata, im shakata lama yara. So, well, what does that mean? Was it fearful or was it calm? It says the Gemara, ela b'tchila yara l'v'saif shakata. First it was fearful, and then it was calm. The lama yara, why was it fearful? Kira Resh Lakish. Lama Resh Lakish, and so on and so forth. It was fearful as Resh Lakish said. Yeah.
Have the free will to end the world?
That's the question. And I was, what would have happened if the Jewish people would have said no thanks? Could we have done that?
Or could Hashem pick another people? Or like,
Right. All of this. It's all part of this scenario. Like, what's happening here when Hashem is really offering it? But part of us understands in the back of our minds, or in the front of our minds, that Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiyus is a picturesque way of saying, did the Jewish people really have a choice here? Did the Jewish people really have a choice? Now, the Pasuk presents it as a choice. But did the Jewish people really have a choice here? Was it not that the circumstances compelled it? And really, this is written about. Many understand that Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiyus, of course, when you speak about Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiyus, you can say, okay, Hashem went, and, you know, like something out of some kind of a chveis, I don't know, movie, you know, like he picks up the mountain and puts it up over their head, and, you know, like King Kong, you know, something like that, you know, and he's holding it, and you see like little clumps of earth are falling in the Jewish people's eyes as they're looking up, you know, and Hashem says you accept it, great, otherwise you're buried there. The simpler way of saying it is that how could the Jewish people say no? How could they say no? Could they say no? Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they're going to say no? Hashem said, for instance, at the Aseres Hadibres, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim from Beis Avodim, from the house of slaves. Says Rashi, you know, you were slaves to Paray. I took you out from that slavery, which means that now you really owe me. You should be slaves to me. As the Torah says many times, the Jewish people are now my slaves, because I took them out of Mitzrayim from being their slaves, now they're my slaves. That's the way it should work. So, it's compelling. When you have just seen 10 Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem is feeding you in the desert, food that rains down from the heavens. No thanks. It's not realistic. Hashem's not just because you're under the barrel, but because you see Hashem so glaringly, so obviously, so strongly. How could you possibly say no? You know, many times we speak about this when we have the contrast in the story of Purim. The story of Purim, where we say, "Oh no," but they accepted it willingly. In the story of Purim, was the opposite. The hand of Hashem wasn't obvious; it was hidden. Right? Anybody could have looked at the story of Purim and said, wow, that's a cool story. Right? Nice thing. Esther became the queen, and then she was able to undermine the whole thing, and Mordechai happened over here, Bigson and Seresh. Right? It's all just a big palace intrigue. A fascinating story. We celebrate it like, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all of this. Hashem did all of this. But it wasn't forced. Yetzias Mitzrayim, you had no choice but to say this is the hand of God. Right? I mean, you know, until these guys now start with the earthquake theories, right? You have no choice but to say, you see what happens, you see the hand of Hashem, there was nothing, there were no questions. So the Jewish people accepted it because of it was overwhelming the circumstances that they had to. But in the story of Purim, there was nothing overwhelming. They could have said, wow, Baruch Hashem, we were saved, and gone on. But instead, they saw it as a redemption of the same quality as the previous one.
Referencing this to Korach, did Korach reject the Torah as well as rejecting Moses' leadership? Or did he reject the Torah because he rejected the Jewish leadership?
He rejected Moshe's leadership and everything that went along with that.
Including the Torah.
Including the Torah as communicated by Moshe Rabbeinu.
So it is possible for someone to do that.
It's true. Right, and it's a great issue and a great question. How was Korach going to be able to did it? And Rashi asked the question, and Rashi says that the biases of Korach were overwhelming. Right, Korach was feeling like deprived of position and so on and so forth, and so we know that. A person can stare at truth, and yet, as the verse says, bribes make even wise people do things which are as if they are blinded and not able to see it. Right? You know, there are people in the world, a lot of them, who believe that the world happened by a cosmic accident, right? And you would say, if I would say that beautiful painting, right? You know, it's a beautiful painting. That beautiful painting over there happened because what happened was there was a canvas sitting here on the table and some ink spilled. Right? You wouldn't believe that for a second, right? And I'm not telling you anything, you know, dramatically. Nobody would believe that for a second, right? And the world, the complexity that's in the tip of your finger, right, is beyond anything that has been invented by all the technology companies combined. Right? And that happened by an accident. People actually believe it. People actually believe it. So, how could it be? Well, you can look at anything in the face and deny it. But that doesn't mean that it's not compelling. It doesn't mean that it's not compelling. The fact that somebody can deny it doesn't mean that it's not compelling in the same way. It doesn't mean that there isn't a difference between the compellingness of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the compellingness of the story of Purim. There's a big difference between them. And that's part of, again, the Kfiyas Har Kigigis. But the Maharal focused on it, more as it said in the language of the Gemara, is, again, going back to the Nakuda, the way we said it before. Torah is not options. It's not something which is extra. Read you a little bit of the language of the Maharal. And again, he's going to say it in different forms, so we'll start with the first. Mashakof aleim ahar shelo yomru Yisrael anachnu kibalnu ha-Torah me'atzmeinu v'imlo yayinu reitzim lo yayinu mekabel ma-Torah. The Jewish people shouldn't say, you know, we volunteered to accept the Torah. If we didn't want to, we wouldn't have had to. V'dover zeh lo hayo malas ha-Torah, says the Maharal. That wouldn't have been a strength of the Torah. Ki ha-Torah kol ha-olam talibah. The whole world is dependent on the Torah. If there wasn't the Torah, the world would have had to go back to tohu vavohu, to nothingness and emptiness. Ulufikach ein roi shetia kabal satayr bivchiras Yisrael, rak shohei Hakadosh Baruch Hu mechayev machrichos am lekabel atayr sheyefsher zulase. To say that it's up to us, that Hashem's world, which is dependent on Torah, is going to be hanging on our veto power. Well, yes, to a certain degree, Chazal do speak in those terms, right? The Gemara, again, that very next passage, says, the world was shaking, it was nervous, what would the Jewish people say? Yes, on one level, it needed the Jewish people to respond. But on the other hand, Hashem's going to leave it up to the Jewish people. You see, this really goes into the fundamental philosophical construct which we have to have when we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the world. The limitations of Bechira, of free choice. And everybody struggles with what has to work, God's foreknowledge and free choice and so on and so forth. And that's not our concern for now. It doesn't really concern me so much. But there's a notion of the world ultimately reaching its fruition. Hashem had a plan. He created the world with an idea of a world that would be full and fulfilled and perfect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to watch that plan go down the tubes, that it won't happen. Hashem modified things at the Mabul and so on and so forth, but ultimately, Sof Davar, at the end of it all, V'hayah Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, we have that promise. Now that, to some degree, means that Hashem limits the possibilities for us. Okay, it doesn't mean today the decision we make, you know, is programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's some steerage of this whole thing. And in a certain sense, that's what we have over here. To say that it's just simply up to the Jewish people. You know, now we'll say, you know, look, Hashem created the world. He put his fate in the hands of the Jewish people. Whether there'll be a geula or not is really, you know, it's sort of up to us. It's sort of up to us. And we say such language. Right? The Gemara says, an exchange, one of them says, when's Mashiach coming? So Eliyahu HaNavi said, Hayoim, today. Today came, today went, and it didn't come. What's going on? So he said, Hayoim im bekarlei tishmou. The pasuk says, today, if you listen to my voice. In other words, it could have come today. It's up to you. You decided not. It didn't come. So, that means it's up to you. It'll come or it won't come. It's up to you whether it'll come or won't come today. But there's no world without it. There's no world without it. So, in a sense, it's up to our choice. But in a sense, it's beyond our choice. It has to be that way. And when you read the story in the Chumash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you think, guys? And we say, yeah, let's go for it. Rabbanu Shalom will be happy to be your treasured people. It's missing an open expression, that aspect of the presentation, that aspect of the reality, which is that it has to happen. It has to happen. The element of Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigas is putting in the fact that it has to happen. And this, as I say, is really very much what we talked about before. If you remember, we had a series of prakim that the Maharal spoke about the idea of Torah min Hashemayim, proving that Torah is divine. And his approach was completely different than the classic addressing of the issue of is Torah divine. Usually when you want to prove Torah is divine, you'll point to a prophecy that was fulfilled, a comment that couldn't have been true without, you know, divine wisdom, you know, comments about animals and plants and who knows what. The Maharal's proofs of Torah being divine have nothing to do with that. The Maharal's proofs of Torah being divine is that there had to be a divine guidance that came to the world in order to bring the world and the human being of the Tzelem Elokim in the world to fruition. Hashem isn't going to create a world without creating the heart and soul and giving over the heart and soul of the system of the world. It has to be there. Torah is muchrach. Torah must be a part of the complexity of creation. Without it, there is no world. We have to convey that. That's Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigas, says the Maharal. To make it, it's up to the Jewish people. You want it, you don't want it, nah. That is not fully conveying what the Torah is about. And so he says, for one second, but you'll ask me, didn't they already say Nasa V'Nishma? Harei Kvar Omru Nasa V'Nishma. Why does he have to force them, though? Right? In fact, they don't have to be forced because they had already volunteered. They already said Nasa V'Nishma. So he says, that's not a kasha. He says it wasn't because we were afraid that they would back out. He openly is ready here to disagree with the Taisvus. But the thing is that it should be. Yeah, they volunteered to accept the Torah. Great, fantastic, that's beautiful. But on the other hand, we need to convey part of the essential nature of Torah. Roy mitzad atzmo. Ki eich tia ha-Torah shi shleimus kol ha-mitzius ayrei kach shebochru Yisrael kabbalus ha-Torah. Ki shleimus ha-Torah, etel b'davir avshari. How can you make the world's fulfillment sort of, maybe yeah, maybe no? It can't be. So therefore, that element had to be introduced, it had to be included. Okay, in a way, again, just to try to bring this out. Hashem proposes to the Jewish people in a voluntary way. And, you know, one way to view this is that he gives the Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigas because we have no choice. But on the other hand, he wants us to engage in it like someone who has a choice. And like to, you know, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, there's a fundamental difference of opinion between Rav and Shmuel. One says that you tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim based on Avarim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, which it says in the Torah. You're going to come to the land, you say, why am I doing all of these mitzvahs? You say, because we were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim and Hashem took us out from her and he gave us all these instructions. The other one says, no, we say it from Mitchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avisein. Once upon a time our forefathers were Avdei Avodah Zarah. So we go way back before we even got to Mitzrayim. Terach was an Eved Avodah Zarah, Hashem brought us close to his service, and so on and so forth. Now we use a text to tell that story. The text is the end of the book of Yehoshua, where it says, as we quote in the Haggadah, Be'ever Hanor Yeshua Vosechem Yo'elam, overseas, over the river of the Yarden on the east bank, your forefathers used to live, Terach, and they worshipped other gods, and then I took Avram and I brought him here. You know what that story is in Yeshua? It's an incredible story. It's an incredible story. The story is as follows. Yeshua has been leading the Jewish people for 40 years. He's about to die. He gathers together the Jewish people and he says, listen guys, you've been with me. You've seen what Hashem has done. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to continue with Hashem? Or would you rather serve Avodah Zarah? You know, the Kanani Avodah Zarah, the Mitzvah Avodah Zarah, whatever it is. Do you want to continue with Hashem or do you want to serve Avodah Zarah? Tell me, guys, what's your choice? You should know, me and my family, we're going to serve Hashem. But I want to know what you guys are going to do. What would you like to do? And the Jewish people say, what are you talking about? How could we not serve Hashem? He took us out of Mitzrayim. And Yeshua says, no, 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 you have to understand, Hashem is, he's tough. He's tough. Elikim Kedai Shem, he's tough. You really got to think about it. Are you ready for this? And the Jewish people say, we want to serve Hashem. It's an astounding story. Same question I asked you before. What, the Jewish people could have said no? What kind of a choice is he presenting them with? A real choice? So the Ralbag says, over there, Ralbag says, that of course the Jewish people had no choice. You know, we said Nasav Nishmat Har Sinai, right? Did somebody come to you and say, "Tell me something. Would you like to keep the Torah or not?" You know, they'll say, "Look, you know, if you come from people who stood at Har Sinai and said Nasav Nishmat, then you have no choice anymore, right? This is it. You know, a person wants to join the Jewish people, so they're given a choice, but because they have no history of commitment to the Torah that they had previously, but someone who had it before, the Jewish people that Yeshua was speaking to, they didn't really have a choice. Says Ralag, it's right, they didn't have a choice. But you know, he says, when somebody accepts something because they have no choice, it's fundamentally different than when they're given a choice and they do it. It's fundamentally different. And so Yeshua came and presented them this in this manner, which seems fanciful or fictional, and he says, look, would you like to accept the Torah? And he presented to them as if they had a choice. Because that means that when they chose, it would be of a completely different quality. They wouldn't but just be doing that which they were stuck with because their grandfathers had gotten them into this mess. But it was something that was their own engagement. Their own engagement.
But there was no risk. So The whole time you're thinking there's a risk. But the answer is there's no risk. There's not going to be an answer, no. It's 100% the question. However you think about it, the answer is yes, definitely.
It's yes, but because Hashem's and Yeshua can't ultimately say, okay, go ahead, walk away from this. That risk doesn't exist. However, you know, it's like saying the following. You know, you'll talk to your child, and you'll say, tell me something, you know, I want to give you a choice. You know, would you like to be part of our family? Or is it maybe, I don't know, look around shul. You know, maybe there's a different family you want to be a part of. Right? Sorry, don't listen. maybe there's a different family you want to be a part of. Right? So your child goes, earnestly looks around, says, no, you know something, I want to be part of this family. Right? I mean, theoretically. Right? They say, you know, they say this. So what have you just done? You don't really have a choice. When a person then says, you know something, this is what I would want. This is what I would want. It just changes the dynamic entirely. It changes the dynamic completely and totally. We would do that. You know, if you're coming to this shiur here on Sunday morning, right? Nobody forces you to come, nothing else. If somehow there was some kind of a requirement that made it that you needed to come to the shiur on Sunday morning, the experience would be completely different. It would be the same shiur, the same time, same bad channel, same everything, right? But because you had to be here, it would be a completely different experience. Because you choose to come, It's something else. Yehoshua does that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. And we don't have time to discuss the details of it, but if you look at it, both in the story of Yehoshua and in the story of Hashem proposing to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, he studiously avoids saying anything that would make the Jewish people feel that they had to. For instance, listen to the story that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. Why did you do that to Mitzrayim? I mean, almost every time it speaks about Mitzrayim, we speak about the fact we were slaves in Mitzrayim and Hashem freed us from there. Here it just says, you saw what I did to Mitzrayim, I carried you on the wings of eagles. It doesn't say anything about it. When Yehoshua tells the story to the Jewish people, he says, you went down to Mitzrayim and Hashem brought great plagues on the Egyptians and took you out of there. Why? He doesn't say that the Jews were slaves in Mitzrayim. Because if he said that we were slaves in Mitzrayim, then we would say, well then, we're slaves, and we're slaves to the one who took us out from Mitzrayim. He also, by the way, doesn't mention anything about a little event. As he goes through the whole history of the Jewish people, he deletes one fairly significant event. You know what he deletes? The giving of the Torah. In other words, he's presenting it as if there's no past that's compelling whatsoever. And, you know, when I think that that's the pshat that we do at the Seder. That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, at the Seder, what we're teaching people is, we're telling the story, we say, you were slaves in Mitzrayim, so we understand our absolute responsibility to Hashem. We were slaves in Mitzrayim, Hashem freed us from there, so we have to serve Him. Right? Judaism is not an option. And Shmuel says, there's another aspect of the story to tell, which is the magnificence. Forget the slavery. We were roaming around on the other side of the river in a meaningless world, serving other gods that mean nothing. And Hashem brought us close to Him. And Hashem carried us on the wings of eagles. And Hashem did such beautiful things for us. And when we finish with that story, we say, we want to serve Hashem. Yitzias Mitzrayim could make you feel like you have to serve Hashem. And Yitzias Mitzrayim could make you feel like you want to serve Hashem. And Rav accents this part of the story, and Shmuel accents that part of the story. And you know what? They're both important. They're both very important. It's important to be inspired, and it's important to have a sense of obligation. Oh, we love the inspiring piece. If Eitz Chaim would put a big billboard on Reisterstown Road in Old Court, and it said, come, right? And they go to their marketing company, and they say, could you please give a marketing campaign for the billboards? And two proposals come forth from the marketing company. One proposal is, come, turn Friday night into Shabbos. Right? Taste the beauty of Shabbos. Taste the beauty of Jewish family life, and so on and so forth. Right? That would be one marketing campaign. The other marketing campaign would be the following. Right? Your grandfather was a slave in Egypt. Yet all that freedom that you have now would not exist if not for God. And God gave you the freedom on condition. Come here and learn what those conditions are. Which one of those would they choose? They'd choose the first one, because the second one won't get a single person to walk in the door. Which one of those is more true and compelling? They're both true and compelling. Nasa v'nishma, by the way, is in violation even with the first one. Why? Because Nasa v'nishma says, Hashem, whatever you say. Right? Hashem, we didn't say, Hashem, tell us about this Shabbos thing. Ooh, dinner, nice. Okay, we'll take it. You know, we said, Hashem, we give ourselves over to you. So neither of them fits, right? With Nasev and Ishma, nor with Kaf Aleim Harkigigis. But they're both true, they're both opportunity. But, right, we're not used to hearing the language of obligation. And it's important to have an understanding of obligation and an understanding of privilege. Put the two of them together. Says the Maral, and again, I'm maybe distorting a little bit, you know, bending the Maral out of shape, but one way or the other, Kafa Aleim Harkegigis is introducing into Matan Torah the reality that Matan Torah is not an option. Torah is not an option. Torah is vital. When it describes before that the Jewish people went in the desert 3 days without water, and Chazal say that that's a metaphor. It's not just about that. It's about, as well, the Torah, which is compared to water. And you can't go 3 days without water. Torah, just like you can go 3 days without water, which is why we lean from the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos 3 times a week, so you don't go 3 days without a public study of Torah. That's what we learned. Moshe Rabbeinu established it then and there, that there should be a public study of Torah that way. It's talking about not Torah being ice cream, which is the way Nasev and Ishma, Skula Mikol Ha'amim, you'll be special treasured, you're going to get special treats, the way that sounds. It's true, it is ice cream. But it's also water. And water is vital. Nothing can survive without water. And so we have this duality. Okay, there's more to discuss about this. Maybe we will continue with this at another time. But this is the fundamental thing. Without Nasev and Ishma, we don't have it. Because then we're not engaged. We're just forced. Hashem wanted to present to us that we should be engaged, that we should reach that level. But let that engagement not be just simply that therefore we should say that it's completely up to us. From the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's mukhrach, it's forced. It has to be, it's vital. It's vital that the Jewish people have the Torah. It's vital for us, it's vital for the world. But